Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 47 of Utopia to Me, with me, your host, Chris Locke. Welcome back. It's been a little bit of a hiatus for a couple weeks because it's been busy, but if you're listening to this way into the future, you didn't even notice the hiatus. You're like, what? I don't care. This is just the next one I listen to. So what? Well, anyways, back here in September of 2015... there was a two-week hiatus, all right? Just so you know. Also, if you're in the future, listen to this right now. Have the robots taken over? I would love to know. Please send some sort of like retroactive email, Twitter-following device, and tweet at Utopia to Me and be like, yeah, man, the robots are here. They're blasting right now through the house. There's fire and laser beams everywhere. Great podcast, though. And then retweet any tweets about the podcast and, help promote it. This episode is really fun. I had a great time hanging out on my couch here in my living room with Gavin Crawford. He's your guest. Gavin Crawford is a legendary Canadian comedian that, after being on TV for a decade, now has his own radio show on CBC as well. And... it's really funny, and it's called Because News, so look out for that. It's a new show that he hosts on CBC Radio here in Canada, and we talk more about that in the podcast, so I'm not going to talk that much longer and just get it right going into Gavin Crawford's Utopian Chat, all right? So hang out with us, listen to fun little stories and memories of ours, and help build his Utopian world, and then... I don't know. What else do you do when you listen to this? Drink soda pop? Make a tea? Hey, make a tea and stay away from soda pop. And if you're in the future, man, stay away from those robots lasers. Because here we go. We've got another super fun episode of Utopia to Me with your very funny and cool guest, Gavin Crawford. Enjoy.
Like, kind of like entertaining on a cruise ship.
This?
Yeah, because you're like just like sitting on a lounge. Like,
yeah, I know.
Chatting.
I know, I hate that. We're basically performing like a sort of like late night talk show to a cat and my old DVDs.
We're in there and they're enjoying it. Funny Farm's really enjoying it.
Yeah. Funny Farm. It's got some good jokes, but man, it takes you a long time to get there.
Yeah.
Like George Miller, I think, is the guy who directed that. And he's an old guy from... like, that's probably one of... like, that's late 80s, but that's probably his last gasp at directing.
That's way deeper into Funny Farm than I would have ever gone.
I might even be wrong. It might not be George Miller. I'm not sure what his name is. Anyways.
I'm still trying to remember who plays the wife. Is it Andie MacDowell?
No, it's... you know what? It's an Andie MacDowell-esque lady who we've never seen again.
Oh, it was like the Andie MacDowell was busy, but she'll do?
Yeah, I think so. Or like, yeah, some crappy exec was like, I'd shtup her. You know how like movies used to
right.
be? Like, I think a lot of comedies ruin pretty ladies like that. They throw them in beside one goofy guy and then that's their whole thing. It's really, especially in the 80s, it used to be like that, right?
Yeah. Like, it was the post-Terry Garr era where they used to, because Terry Garr, they would put in things because she was like sexy and funny.
And funny, yeah.
Yeah.
And Madeline Kahn, I guess, was
yeah,
just pure funny.
Oh, I love Madeline Kahn.
You know who else does? Kathleen.
Really? Yeah. I have a friend. This is a really... we're not starting yet, right?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, okay.
Who cares? This is what it's like.
No, I have a friend who's a soprano. Is a caller to a soprano, but she looks like Madeline Kahn, like young Madeline Kahn, and she has that same kind of... where like her talking voice is kind of like that.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to put together like a one... person show for her that's like a Madeline Kahn show, like mostly a singing show, because she's the only person I know who can sing. All
what's her name? Did you say her name? You don't want to say?
No, I have to remember it now.
Oh.
Because it's...
But she's very Madeline Kahn-esque.
Yeah, she lives in England now. She used to... Her name is Liz something. But I know about... I've been working with a different Elizabeth for about 3 weeks now.
Oh.
Now that name's top of my head and it's blocking out the
That always
name.
Happens to me. I'm so bad with names.
Pop up.
And then... yeah, even people that I've known forever, I will say to the new person I'm meeting, have you met... them and like get them to say their name in front of me again. That's like my trick.
Yeah,
it's that happens
gonna,
to me all the
now
time.
It's gonna bug me because there's no way. It's one of those things that there's no way I should blank. It's like, oh, you know.
Yeah, but you've just had your
you
mind
didn't
blasted.
Remember your sister's name.
No, you're okay because you've just had your mind blasted for the last little while because you're getting this show on the road.
Yeah, it was
on the go.
Yeah, which was actually,
ladies and gentlemen, for just tuning in, that's Gavin Crawford. That's who I'm talking to.
I was going to say that was a good intro. We don't even just yeah. launch into it.
No, but I just like to put a honk and earn Gavin Crawford. Then we'll talk about the show.
But Madeline Kahn has so many good songs. Like she has, like people don't know, but like she was
know.
The original Cunegonda in like Candide. Which is like that, like,
yeah.
She has this Glittering Be Gay song that lots of people, like Kristen Chenoweth, sings now, but it's like, but Madeline Kahn, like, did it first, and, like, she has this You'd Be Surprised song that she sings, like, that's a Gershwin song that's, like, about a guy who's, like, not much to talk to, but when you get him in the dark, you'd be surprised. It's really funny. Like, she has all these great ones. She has I'm Tired from Blazing Saddles, so I wanted to kind of do some kind of...
Yeah, didn't Mel
Madeline
Brooks ever
Kahn.
Sing all
yeah,
the time?
Yeah, she was always...
So you're yeah. into Madeline Kahn as much as I'm into Funny Farm. Now I'm
yeah,
just going to double
pretty
check
much.
This.
It's going to turn out to be Madeline Kahn. No, just kidding. It is
George Roy Hill, that's who it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not Madeline Kahn that stars in it, though.
No.
George Roy Hill, yeah, he's an older guy. Anywho.
I don't know who the girl is.
I think George Roy Hill... Oh, now I'm going to... Way digressing. I think he might have directed... Butch and Sundance or whatever. Is that what it's called?
I'm just gonna trust you on that one unless we have to do Googling.
I don't think the movie Clue is that funny, but there's a scene where Madeline Kahn, all she does is sort of slip on the steps as she's running up the steps, and it's the funniest part of the whole movie.
She to me
like
is.
The way she does that, you know what I mean?
Clue is one of those things that when I was a kid I wanted it to be so much funnier than it was. Like, when it came out, I was like, oh, I want this to be so much better than it is. But now if I see it, yeah. I kind of like it.
Yeah, exactly. No, when I was a kid, like 6 or 7, it was huge.
But there's like...
Because he thought it was the door handle and it was the shower. Like, those are kid jokes.
She has... There's a movie called... that I watched when I was a kid. Like, it's so weird now because now you can find anything. Like, and you're... Like, if... Like, there was so much of my childhood that was spent, like... seeing 5 minutes of something that just happened to accidentally be on a channel that I flicked past, and then the next 4 years was me trying to seek out that.
I know.
Like, how would I find this thing? Because, like, you'd either have to wait to come on, or, like, pouring through the TV guide, like, to find the title of something. So,
yeah.
You know, because, like, I mean... there wasn't like nothing got taped. Like you had to go to the library to like. So you
I know.
Just like, but there was this movie called Sherlock Holmes Smarter Brother. Have you ever seen Sherlock Holmes Smarter Brother?
I've heard of it.
It's like a Gene Wilder,
yeah.
Marty Feldman, and Madeline Kahn movie, and it's totally stupid. But when I was like 10, I thought it was the most hilarious. And Dom DeLuise is in it. And I was like this.
So it's like the Mel Brooks crew minus
yeah.
Mel Brooks.
And it's not the greatest movie, but they do this improvised opera at the end, which is like, it's really, really funny. It's on you. I was just watching some clips of
it
on YouTube. You can watch the whole thing's on YouTube now, but like the opera scene is particularly funny.
So is that your favorite era of comedy then? The sort of whacked out, silly, surreal Mel Brooksian 70s stuff?
Well, I don't know if it's my favorite era, but that's my...
Like,
that,
as a kid, you watched that,
that was what,
first?
Yeah, I mean, my, like, Holy Grail, Young
yeah.
Frankenstein, History of the World Part 1.
Yeah.
Like, those were the movies. At Blazing Saddles, like, those were the...
Can I ask you a weird political question about History of the World Part 1?
Sure.
That scene where Dom DeLuise is drunk and falls off the thing and says... The F word politically now, are you look back and are you mad at that? Or is it still funny like how you saw it when you were a kid? Do you know what scene I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He yeah.
Okay. Where he's like, you faggot.
Yeah, but he's like, but he's drunk and he falls off the thing. He's like, okay, faggot, yeah. What's next? Like, that was just a joke in a nationwide movie back then. And now we're like, we can't even talk about the whole movie because that joke's in it, probably. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I kind of feel like, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't offended by it then. I wouldn't probably be offended by it. Like, the way that...
Yeah, Dom DeLuise is just so ridiculous that it's...
Well, he's
like,
over the top, and isn't he yelling at a chorus of showboys?
Yeah.
Like, he's yelling at like, it's a whole bunch of, like, super gay dancers. Like,
yeah.
And also, like, I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I mean, you know, there's a tone of it. Like, I mean, it's not
malicious.
It's not super PC, but I don't think it's super malicious. It's like the way Mel Brooks does Jewish jokes. Like,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
no,
there's
right.
stuff in there. Like, he's putting in Springtime for Hitler in the, you know... There's a...
It's totally old Hollywood.
Yeah, kinda. I mean, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't... I mean, I don't know. I was 10. Like, we just thought it was funny. Like,
yeah.
When they're, like, she was singing, trying to figure out which the eunuchs were, and then she's singing, like, they're having some sexy girl walk in, and then, like, they all have feathers, and then the feather goes up, and that's how they tell, like, the right. one guy's not a eunuch. Like, we thought that was so funny. We're like,
yeah. Yeah, there's so many movies we grew up on in
the... B. Arthur's in
from
that
the
movie.
70s, 80s.
Like, she's like, did you bullshit this week? She's doing the well. She's the well burper.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I'm an actor. And they're like, oh, you're a bullshit artist. Did you bullshit this week? Did you try to bullshit this week? It's so dumb.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know. It might be my favorite. Like that. And
yeah.
I mean, that was like the era of Airplane. And
yeah.
You know, there was a level
very
of,
slapstick.
It was just a level of silliness that, I mean, I just went to see the new Vacation and I mostly loved it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because it was just so dumb. I was just in the right frame of mind for it to be, to just have things be dumb.
Yeah.
And it
even
delivered.
Even with Vacation now, like the original, I feel like if that screened somewhere now, people would like be upset about how sexualized the blonde in the red car is.
Yeah.
Like, that's why should women like it? It's like almost crazy now. You can't, like, there's so many things in our old comedies that we probably can't go back in.
Well, I mean, you know, comedy's easier when everyone has a common language. It's not necessarily a good thing if, like, you know, one straight white guy gets to set what the common...
Yeah.
common language is for an entire continent.
Yeah.
But for a lot of years, that's what was happening. So they, like, you know, they set what we saw, and then
for a very long time
we know, yeah. Like, so you didn't ever hear, there was no voices to say like, hey, I don't like that joke's like weird, or like,
yeah, or like all the blonde ladies leaving that movie with their boyfriends were like, okay, hi,
yeah, they're
boys.
Like, I'm uncomfortable with that. And they're yeah, just yeah. like, oh, well, that's probably because you're a dumb blonde.
Yeah.
Which they all are. Look.
Yeah. Look.
You know, have you ever heard from a smart blonde? And you're like, yes, but they don't. No one lets any smart blondes talk on anything. So, no, yeah. We haven't. Yeah.
Yeah, that was always the thing back then, too, is like, oh, have you ever... I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know. I mean, it's a level of, you know, there's, I like that level of silliness. Like,
yeah.
There's kind of like, and some of it's like, you know, some of the racism stuff in Blazing Saddles is like way ahead of like,
yeah,
or not ahead of its time, but it's very reflective of what was going like.
Yeah. Richard Pryor co-wrote that, right?
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was, you know, saying insane things about race back then, which was amazing. But let's talk about this. Your radio show that just debuted this week.
It did, yeah.
Better Because News.
Because News, yeah. Which,
Because News. There's no better in it. I just said that.
Better than Because News, the show that you're now. You can do.
I got a new show. This new podcast is just called
just
Better.
Called Better Than That.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just like a, it's on CBC Radio. It's just a panel show. Like, well, it's like a news quiz like they do in the UK. Like,
yeah. So. And I got to audition for it, I'm going to say. And it was super, super fun.
It will be fun.
And I think that you're going to be an amazing host.
Thank you.
Because I was like trying to make, fun. Be funny and try to drop jokes, but they'd be okay. But then you were like right there to make them like 100 times better.
Well, it's fun for me because I get to improvise a lot, like, which
yeah.
I haven't got. Which I haven't done for a while because, you know, 22 is very scripted and
yeah,
and the TV stuff is always really scripted, and so this is loose and it's yeah. a little bit more fun. And
how long
we
can
have weird discussions
for?
About it, stuff too, which I like.
Yeah.
Because I'm not the most like politically savvy or like smartest person in the world.
Me neither. Even just like talking about the old movies, I felt like an idiot there for the first 5 minutes.
I don't know. I just like being able to like, because we have panelists and we can make jokes and stuff like that. But then sometimes we can just be like, we can just throw out a conversation and be like, yeah, why is everybody reacting like this? Or did you react like this or whatever? Yeah. And we don't have to really come at it from some sort of like, I've done my research. And we can just talk about like, you know.
Everyone's held accountable these days too hard to being like an expert about what they talk about. It's nice to hear people ruminate on just topical things.
Well, I feel like they are a little bit. And like, I mean, it's very, we live in a really weird time. Like things are like, everything was so produced for a really long time, and then the internet came along, and now we're in the world where like sometimes things are good and they're not, like there's still really highly produced things, but there's also stuff that comes out there that's like, well, even just podcasts, like the whole podcast generation of people, like they're used to hearing people just kind of chat about stuff. Like it's almost going back to like the way it used, like talk shows used to be like that in the early 70s, and then they got then they had to be like really tight, and like there wasn't like the guests were only on for, you know, a short amount of time. They just plugged their movie, said it was great to work with so and so, and then off. And now we're kind of going back to like more like a long, people having longer conversations, and just like, I don't know, it's weird because they say like, oh, people have no attention span anymore, the internet's ruining our attention span. But I think it's not. Like I think I know lots of people who are like, oh, I'll listen to this thing for an hour. We were talking about unboxing videos on the show the other day, like because my nephews were kept watching this guy unbox Skylanders, like 15 minute videos where it was just like the hands of the dad being like, okay, let's see what's in this box. Oh, cool. Oh, this guy's got like a cape. Awesome.
Are Skylanders a toy?
Yeah, it's like a toy.
I don't even know. Yeah,
and
yeah,
he's like, oh, this guy's this. Okay, it's the Rock Goblin. And awesome.
This is the video he was watching.
And all the dad is just opening up these things and then putting them on and then being like, oh, cool. He comes with a little skateboard. That's awesome. And it was driving me crazy. But they were like, they watched the whole thing, and it
and
was
they
like
share 15 the
minutes
with
long.
The dad
and they're just like watching it along. And then I realized, like, because they don't have a TV, they watch only shows on computers. So if they come across a TV show and a commercial comes on, they're like, they think the show's over.
Yeah,
like they have no idea.
We're the last generation, probably, that thinks of comedians that thinks having a TV show is important.
Yeah, no, because it's just
like it's hard for us to convince ourselves that like everything is just self-made on the internet now and go for it.
Yeah,
you know,
or
I mean?
That like, you know, you could like you can make a filmed thing in episodes, but it never actually has to be broadcast on any television for it to be wildly popular for everyone to watch it.
People still contact me about videos I made 6-7 years ago.
Yeah,
and I forgot
amazing.
About it, but it's just floating out there in space. You know what I mean? Really weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
But the new show just started, and it is an official broadcast on the radio show.
It is
on the weekends at 11
Saturday at 11 a.m
Because news, and it's mostly funny, but you're right, there are real topical discussions.
Yeah.
And then how long were you on 22 minutes for? Like
about eight years.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing.
It was about 3 years too long.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's like fun for about the first five, and then it starts to feel the same, and then you're just like, I'm doing this, I'm fighting the same battles.
Yeah.
I should probably, like, you know.
And also, you're a super dynamic, multi-talented character actor, and did you find yourself getting into just, like, the same old thing?
I mean, you know, once something's popular, they like to run with it, and then you bring in a new character, and they're just like, well, yeah, but wouldn't it be better if we just did that character that everyone liked last week? And you're like, yeah, but remember when no one knew that character, and no one liked him, and then we did it, and it was new, and then suddenly everyone liked him? I remember how exciting that was. Like, we could do that again with a different character, and they're like, yeah, but we could just do that.
Yeah.
And so then you kind of get, you know, and it's also really easy to fall in the trap of doing impressions on a show like that, because if you can do impressions, then like people respond so quickly and so much to like an impression of somebody that like then immediately everyone's like, oh no, just do like, oh yeah, we should, can you do an impression of this person? And you're
it's
like,
it's sort
but
of
no,
like
the
being a stand up and then just making like a Leafs joke.
Yeah.
And then it is how that they kind suck of, and then everyone's like, yeah.
But that's the thing. I mean, at a 22 taping, like you can always like, you can, there's umpteen million jokes you can make, but if you make a good, even a bad Leafs joke, the audience will still go wild. Like, So yeah, it's, you know, you can, you could try and like not even elevate, but you could try and be different some of the time. But you know, it's
yeah, you're in the show's mold. You're not really like,
yeah, but which is fine, because I think the thing with me was when after about 5 years you start trying to change. First, you're just excited to be there.
Yeah.
You're like, great, I'm getting paid to do what I like to do, and this is fun. And you don't really see any of the limitations that are inherent just in the nature of the thing. Like, right, it's, I mean, that show's been like,
well,
a,
yeah,
and it slowly like changes over the course of time. But I mean, I was excited because when I got on the show, when I used to watch it when I was a kid, and everyone likes something different. I mean, like some people were like, oh, I liked Rick Mercer because he would do these like pointing out the foibles in politics, and it,
yeah,
was, and for me that was never like, I'm like, I liked Kathy because Kathy Jones could be any character,
right,
and that's what I like to do. So, and it would, but it was just like they would be just be a person. They would be like, you know, like, I'm so and so, and this is what I think about such and such. And then we, it slowly sort of started to get kind of away from that. Like, from like, I'd find we were doing less and less
character
point
cutaways
of view stuff, and then,
yeah, you're right. It became like sort of like a light Canadian Daily Show-y,
yeah,
sort of things.
Like
keep
the,
it, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like, I don't know, it just was, it's good. I mean, it's, they do their thing, but it's just that thing.
You're right, it did seem more like a sort of sketch show in,
yeah,
the 80s, now that I remember, yeah.
It was more character-based.
But you had the Gavin Crawford show before going to 22 Minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so how...
And
yeah,
that was
course,
just
yeah,
all characters.
Yeah, how long did you get to do that?
We actually got to do it for like 3 years, kind of, yeah, off and on. We made, it was weird because it was at the beginning of Comedy Network, like that. So was like Second City had a chunk of time that,
yeah,
they were trying to fill and they couldn't figure out what to do with it. And then we went in and said like, well, can we break it up into 4 half-hour and make a little mini series?
Yeah.
And so then Comedy Network said, sure. And then we did, so we did 4 and then we did like 9 the second year, and then we did 13 the third year. So we did like 26 episodes in all, but over the course of like 3 years.
Yeah, we were talking about this before we started recording, but I regret not knowing that era that well, because it Comedy Network came out right when I was finishing high school, and I remember like Butch Patterson, the Private Dick, or yeah, whatever that was. And remember that one, the cartoon about the shitty kid that was a sociopath or something?
I can't.
Yeah,
I don't know,
I'll think if I think of the
about name.
But yeah, so I think when your show was on, I was in my early 20s trying to like get rent and didn't have a TV. And when I did, didn't watch it.
It's
had
okay,
no cable.
Man. It's on Hulu now.
It is?
If you have a geo-blocker, you can watch it on Hulu.
There you go. Watch the Gavin Crawford show on Hulu when
the,
you can.
The Canadian show that's only available in America.
But what I did see is some of your sketches from your latest pilot that is online now too.
Yeah, Wild
and
West.
That was awesome. Yeah,
that's on YouTube too.
What's it called again? Say it.
It's called Gavin Crawford's Wild West.
Yeah.
So if you look up my name in Wild West, it was fun. Yeah, it's a good show.
Cool. Do we have enough credentials down? And you were on Second City main stage forever, for a while.
Yeah, I was on Second City for like I think I did 2 original shows and then like dropped into like this show called Old Wine, New Bottles, I think, that was like a classic best of show, but then they changed.
Okay.
Mark Hickox was doing, they were doing a sketch in their show where Jack Bosshammer was like showed up somewhere and then he like put this duffel bag down and then like eventually opened up and Mark Hickox would pop out of it. And then I don't even remember what the sketch was, but the point, part of the deal was the guy was folded up in a very small duffel bag.
Yeah.
And I wasn't in the touring company, but I think I got to understudy for the main stage because I was the only Second City. I was in the Oxco, which is like under the touring company.
Yeah.
And then, but I would get to fill in because I was the only person that was small enough to like crumple up in this tiny duffel bag. So just based on the fact that I hadn't grown,
yeah,
I managed to get onto Second
Show
City
business.
Main stage.
They're like, I got just the guy.
Yeah. So
for your duffel bag.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, that's what it's like. Are you a good improviser? Great. Are you a good improviser? I'm not sure. Can you fit in a duffel bag? Yep.
You're on, kid.
You're on. Hold yourself up and let's get going.
Yeah.
No, it was terrible.
Yeah, see, that's what I know is because when I was starting in my early 20s, I was mostly did improv, and I didn't know TV, like I just apologized for it. But I did know you from around town. If people went to go see you on stage, you should go see it, yeah.
Did you? It was really, I'm
going to turn the main light on. I think we're having a really mellow convo right now, and I think half of it is because we're in a really like mellow,
in a dark room.
Yeah, dark room.
Okay, we'll jazz it up right now.
No, hey guys, you've been listening for 20 minutes. Now we're gonna. Is this jazzed enough?
I
turned the light on.
Jazz.
No, this is a good
here's
convo.
Here's a dumb thing.
All of this is good. Start super political about race and sex. Yeah,
there used to be a sketch at Second City that Jack Mosheimer, who was a big, great improviser, but a really big guy.
Yeah,
really, it was
I used
really
to watch
funny.
Him. And
it was called Ribbon Dance. And it would be like, it was like at the Olympics. It was like, no, little Jackie Mosheimer. And he would do, and Jack was also really an amazing rhythmic ribbon. Like, he could do it really well. So it was this really funny sketch where he would come out and just dead seriously, this really big guy, do this like really good ribbon dance. And it was in the show. And then I would have to go understudy sometimes if Jack was off. And then I would be like, can we cut that ribbon dance sketch? And they're like, no, just do it. So I would have to do the sketch.
But not good.
But I'm not like, well, I was just like a skinny kind of like slightly effeminate guy.
Are you skinnier than you are now?
No, well, I was this.
Because like, you're very skinny.
So yeah, I'm like a skinny effeminate guy doing ribbon dancing.
Yeah.
And so it didn't. There was nothing funny.
Right.
It would just look like a real. It just looked like. So then we'd have to do it.
It and looked like what this guy really just wants to do.
Like and so the audience would just be baffled for like three. Because I don't know. There's just something like when an unlikely guy gets up and does excellent ribbon dancing. It was a hilarious sketch. But then when I get up and do, like, when a likely guy gets up and does quite poor ribbon dancing, it's just sort of sad.
Yeah.
So, it was always the most humiliating times at Second City when I'd have to understudy that sketch because I knew
God, that's so
going
funny.
Out that no one would laugh.
Why did they get you to do it? They couldn't get anyone else?
Because everyone just had their parts in the show.
Right.
And so I was understudying for Jack. So I just take over his parts, which most of the times had nothing to do with like, it was fine.
Visual.
I could go in.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like just a purely visual
gag. It was
gag
just a character.
That didn't work at all. But I could never, I don't know if someone had it had to cover somebody's change or something. But like, I would beg them to be like, I'm just like, you know, Jack's not here. Like, what is it going to hurt the show that much if we just drop that sketch for this week? Like, it would be like my face would be so red by the time I would get off the stage because there was just nothing.
That's a
to do.
That's an improviser / sketch comedian's like taking the lumps for the experience kind of bit you have to do.
Yeah,
right?
Like you're just like, well, I'm gonna go out here and no one's gonna laugh, and it's just they're just gonna be confused. So.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, it was really bad. It just that reminded me of a Second City story.
So you did say
you bringing up Second City reminded me of a Second City story.
Oh yeah,
it's weird
yeah,
that
happens. I know. I'm so sorry. Maybe I won't bring up anything else.
It should be good then. We're good. Keep it jazz.
Gee, what happens when I bring up
careful of subjects?
The word murder.
Well, this one time,
Jack. You haven't seen Jack Mosheimer for a while, have you?
Have you ever felt like a murderer?
Yes, of course. I don't hide my psycho thoughts because I don't think I'm a psycho. So I'm uncomfortable.
A very sad event. It happened in my childhood. That's not that sad, but it was with a gopher. And because I murdered someone.
But
we used to put a garden hose in the gopher holes and then.
Like Caddyshack, an old classic comedy.
Yes.
All comes around.
And then we used to, we'd try and catch the gophers. And one time we'd wait outside the hole, and then we were kids and we didn't know any better. And then we'd whack the gopher with a stick to conk it on the head.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. And then, so once we got this one gopher, and then we thought, he's tame. And then we took him and we had him in like a little box, and we were excited because we had a pet gopher. And then my friend's dad came over and was like, you guys, you broke that gopher's back. He's not tame. He has a broken back.
But it was still alive.
Yeah. And then we were horrified. And then he made us he's like, that gopher's suffering. You have to kill that gopher. And he made us kill it.
How did you
kill
it? So
that we wouldn't it's hard to even say. We hit it on
the shotgun.
We hit it on the head with a brick.
Moment of silence.
I know. Isn't that horrible? It's really, like really horrible. It was like the most... I can't believe I've been saying this. So I'm going to...
Yeah, but I'm... okay, you want to hear something psycho? I'm happy to hear this story because recently, you know, I just did a one-man show about the cats and everything.
Yeah.
And I had this memory of like 10 years ago living in a mouse-infested apartment with an old buddy. And they were too smart for the traps. We couldn't kill them. And one time I trapped one in a like a plastic bag. And I didn't know what to do. So just full of anger and panic, I smashed the bag 3 times against the cupboards.
Oh.
And killed the mouse like it was in my hammer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then it fell out of the bag and died in front of my eyes.
Yeah.
And then it changed my heart forever. And I was so sad and hated myself.
Yeah.
But for some dumb reason this summer, I kept trying to turn that into a comedy bit.
Yeah.
And like all the punches before and after hit, but that one moment of truth about the real story, I would at least split the audience. They were like, what the hell?
No, because you just can't like... It's,
yeah.
It's just sometimes too sad, man.
I know. Like, and I'd be like, I was young. I was dumb. I learned my lesson. I was so sad. Doesn't matter. You can't get up there as an entertainer and be like, I killed a mouse like a fucking hammer.
Yeah, no. Like, there's always like, there's just like, just moment of truth where you're just like, yo, funny. Everyone does that. You're a monster.
Yeah.
Now you're just a monster.
Yeah. So I'm glad to hear. I hope you guys are out there listening are glad to hear that Gavin killed a gopher with a brick.
Yeah. So,
but you didn't try to turn it into a bit. So there you go.
No, I mostly tried to forget about it, but I never can. That's the problem. Is like,
yeah,
that's like, you know how there's indelible images that are in your head forever. That's one of mine.
Well, one time I had one of those. Oh my god, this is terrible. But you remember those things that were super popular in the 80s?
That and a Playboy from like 1974.
Really?
Because I was coming home from kindergarten. The first time I had ever seen boobs, there was like an open Playboy that I'd blown into a bush and caught. And I was like in kindergarten, and I was walking home, and then I just looked up, and I was like, my brain couldn't process like what I was seeing because it was like right eye height. And it was
Archie, just like what happened to Betty?
Like a full on like naked lady, and I was just like, I was just standing there, just like really confused.
I love that you come from a place where porn blew into bushes from the wind.
Southern Alberta, it does. Like, it's really windy in Lethbridge all the time.
That's so funny. Oh my god. Yeah, we haven't even started talking about your utopia yet, and we're almost at a half hour, but I love all these stories.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Ron James was on a while ago, and it took us 45 minutes to get to his utopia.
I thought you were going to say through the introduction.
Almost, but I love that. Oh, man. It's Ron James. I love that about him. No, this is fun because you and I guess, can I say... We're fans of each other, but we still don't know each other that well.
This is true.
So this is a fine half hour for me. And then also people listening get to know these stories about you.
And it's weird. I get nervous when I meet like younger comedians. Newer comedians.
I'm younger.
You are younger than me.
Yeah.
Like, but it's... Yeah, like when...
I'm fatter and balder. Does that help?
No, but I just get nervous because I'm just like... I feel like I'm like the old, not like... cool person. Like, and then I was like, oh, I have to do a pod. I don't know.
I don't think any of us are cool if we're like not in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I guess so. But see, I don't think Los Angeles is not very cool to me.
I don't.
So
yeah, I feel
it's
the
one
same
of those
way.
Things.
we're both like,
I'm glad there's a new Walking Dead series that's taking Los Angeles apart.
Yeah, maybe some of our friends down there will be in it and they'll get eaten alive. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. don't worry about that
utopias, right?
Yeah. Oh, can I ask this question, or is it too personal? Like, if like when you were a kid and you saw nude women in a porn, and were you not titillated because did you already know
because of gayness?
Yeah. Weird for me to say, but
well, I mean, you were a little because you were just like, it's something brand new. But like, I have a whole in my last, I just did a fringe show called Friend Like Me, and it's sort there's a long story about porn in it, but part of it's that is just like the first time I ever, like, because you couldn't come across,
oh, I think Kathleen told me
you couldn't come across like wieners very easily in it was a whole different world of porn when I was growing up.
The wiener in porn is you, quote unquote. Like the
viewer. Like it was very it was very hard. Like most magazines didn't show the dude. They didn't show any dudes. So the first time I ever saw a dude in a magazine, I was really quite that's when I realized, like, oh, you can feel different than you normally feel looking at naked. Like that's when I realized, like, oh, there's a different feeling.
Interesting.
And then and then I went to somewhat, you know, comical great lengths to see that picture again, which is that's the whole story.
Oh, but, cool. Are you going to do that show again?
Weird. Yeah, I'm doing it in Barrie this month, and then we're going to remount. I think we're just going to keep refining it, and then I'm hoping to tour it once we finish the radio show.
Why Barrie? Do you live up there or something?
No, they're having a comedy festival. And
oh,
like,
really?
I was already scheduled to perform there, and then I hadn't written that show, but...
I like how I'm a comedian, too, and I didn't know that. Oh, they are?
Then the guy from Barrie, the guy came and saw the show at the Fringe and was like, you must do this show. And I was like, okay, great.
Oh, I like that story a lot. I like how you didn't, like... you didn't know about the sensation until it was happening.
Yeah,
like,
no,
you looked at nude people before, but it was mostly women. You'd be like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, boing, like a wiener.
Yeah, it's a weird, like...
I like that.
I don't know what to... I don't know how to analogize it. Like, I don't know an analogy of something that you think is fine until then you do something and you're like, oh, no. That's way better.
Yeah, it's like when you eat pizza like, all your life, and then one day you go to Toronto
Italy or something.
Or Italy, yeah.
And you're just like, oh, that's what
me going to Italy would be like. Boing.
Yeah, like if you eat a tomato out of your yard in Canada
versus Loblaws,
and then or Loblaws, and then and then you go to you know, Italy, and then have a caprese salad, and you're like, oh, that's what that's supposed to taste like.
Yeah, and then you leave the restaurant,
I get it now.
Leave them a huge tip, but you walk away with like this huge boner. Yeah. Like, thanks so much.
It's like, that's why I can't go to Italy.
Okay. Speaking of Italy, which is another place, let's finally go to another place. But I love this intro and getting to know you. Is that cool?
That's fine.
Are you having fun?
I am.
Okay, good.
I don't know if the audience will be, but whatever.
They will.
Okay.
They like, it's like what you were saying earlier about podcasts. Yeah. They like to chill with us. They like to get to know us. Maybe not. I don't know.
All right.
Maybe I'm just trying to be optimistic myself. But here's the thing. You do know what the podcast is about. You've listened to one or two episodes, right?
Yeah.
So, and you've been trying to think of what your perfect utopian world would be like.
I have been.
You have some ideas, right? What are those first, if you want to say?
Do you want the dumb ones or the good ones?
I want all of them.
Well, this is
you,
the thing.
What do
like,
you feel
first,
in your gut?
Because... You know, there's impossible things, but I would like to live. I would like to live in a place where, like, it was kind of like show tunes all the time, like where, like, hey, you could be at the grocery store and like somebody would be like, "There's a deal on eggs," and then everyone would know.
That's a
suddenly
that's not
know
a dumb one. If you think that's a
choreography,
dumb one.
And like someone would be like, "What eggs are on sale? It's eggs. There's a deal on eggs," and like people would spin in, and just for like a minute and a half, everyone would get really excited about the egg sale.
Yeah,
and then it would just go back to normal. Or like, you know, I don't know. I would like to live in a musical town, but then I also would like to live in a town where everyone had different accents because I like to mimic, so it's fun.
Yeah.
Like I would like I sort of part of utopia to me would just be to live in the north of England because people not funny accents, but have accents, and I like that. So
you talking to them would be like you. It's almost like when you go someplace to talk another language, but instead you talk another accent.
Yeah, so it's just accents all over the place. But then I realized those would maybe cancel each other out, so I would have to have neighborhoods. Like, I would have to have the musical neighborhood.
Yeah.
So you could...
How small do you want this world to be?
Well, you know, you could just... Maybe a country. Like, you're just like, you know, I'm going to go live for 6 months in Musicopia, where everyone sings show tunes.
And where everyone's accosting you in grocery store with a trombone.
Like, you know, and then some of the time I'd go and just be like, I want to hear different accents. I'm just going to go to dialect world. Yeah. But then also... on a more serious utopian note, I don't know, there's being in the performing arts or being in an entertainer, part of utopia to me would be to live in a place where if you you know, went to school, worked hard, and figured out how to be an artist, like, whether it was in theater or whatever, that, like, you could just make a living at it. And there is countries like that. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Where, like, they're like, oh, we have a theater. So you get, like, instead of constantly have to be, like, you spend your whole life either, like, trying
wondering
to get to this,
if you're a broken type of person.
Yeah, like, or like you spend your whole life like trying to make it, and then like, and we live in weird North American society where make it is totally contingent on how many people know you, which is weird, instead of actually just doing your work and good work. But then like I was in Norway once, and I was at this some bar, and then I was talking to this guy, and I asked him what he did, and he said, oh, I'm an actor. And I was like, oh, I'm an actor too. And he's like, oh, what company do you work for? And I was like, well, I just work for the company of, I'm not sure what you mean. And he's like, oh, well, I work for the National Theater of Norway, and like, and he gets paid all year round.
Wow.
And he's in the company, and he's never not in the company. So if there's a part for him, he goes and does the part. But if there isn't a part for him in any particular play, he still gets paid and then goes and like does a movie or something. Or if he's working and he does a movie, then he just like, I don't know, maybe he gets his, I'm not sure what happens.
Extra
to his,
pay.
He either gets extra pay or he can like suspend it or something like that. So it doesn't like draw too much from the pool, but it's, I don't know. It just, that would be like, there would be less millionaire actors, and there would be a whole lot more like 100,000-aire actors in my utopia, where you could just be like, you know what, you went to school, you're qualified, you know how to do Shakespeare, you don't have to be in everything, everyone doesn't have to know you, you can work. There's, well, kind of like England too, where there's like theater stuff going on all around, but it's not like, you know, it's, and it's not like, oh, you're either at this major level or you're a nothing. Like, it's community theater.
Do you think some of that also comes from, like, the actors and artists, like, ego as well, though? Or do you think it's North America that's shaped our ego to, like, shaped us to feel that way, specifically?
I think it's a little bit of both. Because, I mean, you know, and also, like, I mean, you know, and like, the weird thing is in North America, we have that thing of, like, well, you know, people think like, well, anyone can be an actor, anyone can be a comedian or whatever. And that is true. But like, no, we're more of the thing of like, and I would like to do it without learning any of the skills. I'd like to just already, I believe in my mind, I already have those skills. So just run with me on this. Whereas in other countries, they're just like, oh, you want to be that? Well, great. Here's the things that you like, places you can go and the things that you learn, and there's not such a differentiation to, especially in Britain, like they don't differentiate as much between like comedians and actors.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like they'll put, like it's not really like what you're, people aren't necessarily one or the other, or sometimes they're just like, oh, you're good in comedies, so you'll be in comedies, but it's not like the serious actors are worth more. Comedians are, you know, they're just silly goofs or whatever. So that kind of, I don't know. There would be a lot of arts in my weird utopia.
Maybe that's why serious British actors are always better at taking the piss out of themselves, because it's not that big a deal in their culture there.
Yeah, no.
I also like anywhere in Europe in arts and culture, you don't have to be like almost alienly beautiful.
Yeah.
Like you can be a good, like an interesting looking person.
Yeah.
And then like be a star.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I think, you know,
I'm talking as a bald guy with a mustache right now and a sweatband on his head.
Well, it's ridiculous. It's like, well, in America, it's like they're like, okay, oh, would you like to be on TV? Well, then you have to be very good looking. Like that's, we've just decided, like, we don't put not good looking people on TV. Well, we do now, but it's only in a freak show, reality show type situation.
Yeah, like, drink these margaritas normally and pour out your heart.
Yeah, we want people to be very good looking. And then I feel like I'm British to be there, like, well, you can go on TV, but you have to be like, you don't have to be very good looking, but you do have to be quite interesting.
Yeah.
As long as you're quite interesting, you can get on, we'll have you on our British shows, because they have normal looking people, but they're always like more interesting or quite talented. Yeah, maybe that's it. They just have to be quite talented.
Maybe artists and actors and stuff run your world.
Yeah, they're
the main industry.
Well, I think just across the board, my thing would be like, you know, it would be like a little more. I don't need like so much money. I don't want to. I don't care to have like $100 million. I'm sure it would be great, but off the backs of like,
yeah, it's not your goal.
Yeah, no. Like I like being. I like getting to do what I like to do, which sometimes is just reading, but like also it's improvising and acting and stuff like that. So in my utopia, I would be able to do that, and other people would be able to do what they wanted to do, and it wouldn't be like such a like. I don't know. I feel like the more people that are okay, it just makes everyone better off.
So your world is, you're a commie pinko.
I kind of am, I guess. Maybe not. I think I must be like very socialist. I don't know.
No, it's not. Sometimes people like in North America have a knee-jerk reaction to socialism when someone's just being a compassionate person.
Well, the thing is like, you know, like...
They're like, why do you care about this stranger?
I don't know. Like, you go to Sweden or something like that. And it's like, you know, yeah, there's crime and stuff like that. But it's also like, there's a lot of people like out in the park. People look like they're having a pretty good time.
No one talks about those countries. It's so weird. I was just thinking that the other day, because right now the huge story is the Syrian and other war-torn country refugees being denied entry to all these countries. And you feel so sad, but we dwell not that we shouldn't care. I definitely, we all have sympathy towards these people, and something's got to be done. But we in North America think that suffering is like the only other part of the world. Yeah. We forget that there's like so many countries just chilling, living like an easygoing life.
Yeah.
But like,
but
Canada,
I mean, there's like, I think I'd have to look at
crime in Sweden, Norway.
Well, yeah, but I there's also like, because like Norway takes a lot of Norris. When I was in Norway, like they were like, there was a, it was a little bit like people were kind of, I was like, wow, you guys are kind of racist against the Afghans, because they're like, they've taken in a lot of Afghan refugees, and then it's causing a little bit of strain in Norway. Like the Norwegians are kind of getting like that, like, well, they shouldn't get our social benefits, they just got here. And you're like, well, the point is everyone gets them and they're here now too, so
yeah.
But, so even there, like, I mean, it's not problem free, whereas in my utopia it would be problem free.
Interesting, because in Norway you can't pull that card where you're like, yeah, well, you're not originally from here too, because of like what you can do in Canada, because of like how we treated the Aboriginal population here. Not, I hate to say we, but you know what I'm saying, the Europeans when they came over, and then, and still now, but anyways, Norway was like, yeah, we've been here all the time.
Yeah, we never left.
Like, if they can have a more steadfast racism.
We started here. They're safer. They can be more comfortable in their xenophobia.
Yeah, that sucks, I guess.
They were like, I was actually born in this house.
Yeah, and you're like, well,
no one can pull that card rug out from under them and be like, yeah.
Technically, no, yeah, okay.
Yeah, because they'd have to be like, well, the gnomes were here before you.
Yeah,
and do you see any of them around now?
There's just pointed red shoes coming from underneath everybody's house.
Look
in Norway.
Look what you've done to the gnomes.
We don't talk about the gnomes.
How dare you call this your land?
I feel like that's a bad. Yeah,
I'm not making an analogy.
No, I know.
To that
to Canada,
but yeah,
but still, it's totally the same.
Thanks.
I like that though. You're a compassionate person. You want everybody to have their career based on their talent, and it's not like an ego-driven, materialistic, nutsoid place like North America, where you gotta be a multimillionaire that has like fake skin, fake hair, and everybody loves you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that, obviously. Different towns are broken up for different stuff. So you've got the musical town, but you can leave it once you've had overkill until you feel like going back again.
Yeah, maybe I just would have all kinds of... It would be like a weird sort of Disneyland, just depending on your mood.
So I'd your perfect utopian world is like a sort of a fun fairground land.
Like free sex town, where it's just like...
Yeah.
That's where all the people go. Like, where they're just like, ah, I feel like I'm going, I'm horny. I'm going to go, I'll transport myself. And then, but everyone else is there for the same reason, right?
So I just pictured you leaving musical town with like trombones and crashing cymbals following you. And then just like, like tons of nude people, like right after, you know? Yeah, I like that.
They're just like,
you're like, bye guys. Dude, like it just gets into pure lubrication and sweat and red lights.
Crazy times. Yeah.
And that's like the size of a city.
Yeah.
Writhing around nude people. It's like the What's that movie with Michael Fassbender where you see his dong? It's really good.
Yeah.
The movie and the dong. But like it's a Steve McQueen movie. If you've seen it, that's what I picture this town looking like.
It's like he's a sex addict in that movie. I can't think of the name of the movie.
Super, super sex addict. It's insane.
Damn
it. Shame. It's just called Shame. Of course.
Oh, right.
So you have like a sort of shame town.
Yeah. There was like a part of that movie. I have to watch that movie because I got... I didn't watch that movie because somebody was like, I don't know, a friend of mine who's kind of like... kind of an activist, but he was just like, I don't know, like it's kind of annoying, that movie, because it's like his biggest degradation, if he like has to go, either like he gets blown by a guy and it's like that's the lowest point he hits, and it's so so terrible, and I'm like, yeah, I kind of don't buy that anyways, because like I don't think a sex addict would have cared that much, but I haven't seen the movie, so I can't. So I was like, so I'll have to watch it to see.
No, but that is kind of like, true. Maybe like it's supposed to be, obviously, for the straight people watching it, it's like, is nothing sacred to this man?
I know, like, yeah. Wow, look how low he sunk. Was there not a watermelon he could have done instead?
Crap, I didn't think of that.
Like, yeah, I don't know, maybe. I can't comment.
Yeah, give the man an apple pie.
exactly.
Please.
For God's sakes.
No, I don't know if I would have read it like that. To be honest, you know, I know the perspective I'm coming from, but it sort of just seems like it's another introduction to, like, because the more you watch the movie, the more we're all as an audience taken down more and more steps into his sexual appetites. Like, it doesn't start extreme, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just like, to me, it was just like, oh, the world keeps opening up more and more the more you learn about this guy. But yeah, I'm sure it could have
been. I like him, so I'm gonna watch it.
Jeez, Michael Fassbender is one of the guys where I'm like, damn it, I'm not good looking. Yeah, I think he's the best. And have you seen the picture of him from Inglourious Basterds beside Christopher Plummer from Sound of Music? It's so creepy.
Oh, really?
They're the same
guy.
It's really crazy. Anyways, okay.
I like, yeah.
So you got a sense?
I really like Inglourious Basterds.
Me too.
It's one of those things. It's weird because I'm not a blanket Tarantino, like, everything he does I love.
Yeah.
Some of them I'm like, not for me. And
yeah.
And some of them I'm like, wow, this is amazing.
What's weird about, I love that one, but. And I loved Django at first, but now with like Ferguson and Baltimore and everything that keeps happening, now when you watch Django, it feels really uncomfortable. Yeah. It's sort of like what we were talking about, and come around again, at the beginning about those old comedies from our era, how they're just so not politically correct anymore. But Django is almost like way out of its element a year later or two. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so then it's like, is it presciently uncomfortable?
Maybe, but that stuff hadn't happened yet, like, you know? Like, the real bubbling, it was bubbling under, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
But then I mean, maybe that's why he made it, because it's all bubbling under.
Yeah.
And then you know it's going to...
Yeah, no, he's coming from a good place for sure. But it's still, like, really cartoony. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, I haven't, again... I'm really behind.
Oh, man, I'm
totally
sorry.
Movie behind right now.
I've hijacked your whole utopia to me to just talk about movies that I like. I'm sorry.
I know, but I feel guilty about it. Like, there was like a time in my life where I watched like probably two movies a day.
Yeah.
And then I remember once, like, and this is going to, now I hate myself already, because my grandparents never went to the movies. And I hated them for that. I didn't hate them, but it seemed like I'm like, you don't even work. You could go to other movies all day.
Yeah.
And they just didn't care to. And for my kid brain, I was like, no.
Yeah.
You should be seeing all of these things. There will never come a time in my life, I said when I was nine, that I will choose to do anything else than go to a movie if I can go to a movie. And now I'm like,
but now you
don't even have to stay at home and read.
Like, but also you're creating art.
Yeah,
yourself,
I guess
like
so.
All the time. You did the one man show this summer. You're like hosting a new nationwide radio show.
Yeah, I go through fits and starts.
Cut yourself some slack.
It just depends. Like if your brain it is that weird thing. It's like you fill up and then you pour stuff out, and then you need to go to a bunch of movies and see a bunch of plays and do a bunch of stuff.
That's where
and then you get busy again and you're like doing stuff. So I try not to beat myself up in the times when I'm just like, yeah, I got nothing right now.
And also, are you reading a lot? You're saying you're reading a lot?
I do like to read a lot.
It's almost more fulfilling most of the time.
Well,
we didn't know that as kids.
Also, video games came along and that hurt me for movies.
I can't relate to that.
Yeah. So this is like, now I watch like story movies, but any action movies I don't bother with anymore because I totally just am like, I sit there and I'm like, if I'm not playing this, I don't want to watch.
If I'm not the guy shooting everybody.
Yeah, no, like really, like I don't want to watch.
What video game should I try?
Other people shoot up things, like, because when you're playing a video game, you can die. Like, yeah, sure, you can restart and it's not like you really die, but like there's a different level of adrenaline. But if I'm watching an action movie now, like I'm like, I know the main character isn't gonna die.
Yeah.
So now I'm just waiting to watch how different ways he's gonna get out of whatever's happening.
Plus all these action scenes are trying to like one up themselves in these big budget movies that you sort of zone out in them anyways because they're just turning into like nonsense the time, right?
Like I like to, so I like to have the control of things. It depends what you like. There's a couple, it just depends on the kind of things.
God, like, the last video game I got into to the maximum was like this video game called Rayman 2. And I think like that's from, do you know that one?
Yeah.
It's from like Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
That's,
but now there's ones that are just like weird, like long movies. Like it's like you're like,
I know,
like The Last of Us.
That's
like,
why everyone likes them, because
The Last of Us is like playing a movie of it's like playing a movie. Like it's got a really, it's got a good story. It like makes you emotional in a weird way.
Yeah,
it's the only time I ever like
have emotions.
Like it's the only time I ever emotions. No, but I almost like, I didn't cry, but I almost like, I just had this, there's just a part in it where you're like, you've been fighting so hard in this like such a gross world for such a long time, and you just turn around and there's this like breath of like fresh air, and it's a respite, and you feel like and it's like such a sense of relief. But it's crazy because I was like, I can't believe how
did you cry
that I am in this. Well, I got a little like like I didn't actually cry.
That's amazing. Yeah, I know. I get that, the first person sort of video game things, role playing games. I get that because you're on missions. It's up to you.
Yeah.
To do all these things. When I was in university,
I can fall for that so easily. Like if Kyle says to me like, Gavin, your mission is to go to the 7-Eleven, get some milk.
I'm on a mission.
More exciting for me.
Yeah,
like I'll totally like.
You go to 7-Eleven, you're just killing all these people. And
I do dumb things when I'm out though. Like one time I was just at the grocery store, like for no reason, there was corn was on 2-for-1, and just for some reason it struck me as funny as if I pretended to be really excited about it being 2-for-1, and
like then, in front of other people.
Yeah, like there was a lady standing beside me, so I just put like a. I was like, oh, this corn's 2-for-1. Does that mean to get? I just buy one of these cones, I pay for one, and I get two. Is that right? That's it. Oh, I wasn't even thinking about getting corn, but I'm going to get some. That's a good deal, isn't it?
Did you do that by yourself to the lady?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because I just wanted to see if she would buy corn, too.
Did she?
Yeah,
he shook his head. Yes,
she was like, yeah, I suppose it's a good deal. I don't think she had a British accent, but I don't even know why I was doing a British accent. But sometimes I just
have you ever seen my friend James Hartnett do comedy?
Pops in your head that you just,
yeah,
like you just like, what if I was like a British person that was so excited about this corn, and then I'll just start doing it.
Have you seen my friend James Hartnett do comedy?
I don't think I ever have.
You have to.
I really should, because I've seen him a bunch of times at various things.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You guys would love each other's stuff. It's pretty similar. It's good.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that you just... I think of that all the time, like just doing gags for my own benefit, like in public places. But I don't have the guts
about
to do
that
it.
Because it's like, that's what I started doing. Like... I try to remember,
in real life.
I wasn't really trying to make. I mean, I was trying to make people laugh, but like, I just wanted to pretend to be another person for a little bit,
yeah,
and see how far I could carry it. And so I try to remember, like, at the bottom line of things, like it's like that's all it really is. Like, you're just pretending to be. I mean, not stand up. That's crafting a joke, and there's whole, but just acting. In
yeah,
general. Like it's. When you're acting, it's just like you're just like, what if I was pretending to be this person and
yeah.
seeing if you could pull it off?
Oh, I really like that.
That would be my acting school. I'll open up an acting school called Let's Pretend.
Yeah, you should. So when you're like thinking about like a new project in comedy, is that sort of your reset button?
A little bit. I mean, you know, it's really hot. Like it's hard to get things necessarily going in that, because like people love it, but then it's hard to explain to them. Like sometimes, like even with Wild West, like when I just want to do a show, like it's about six Albertans and I play them all. Like I'm just pretending to be these different Albertans. And
yeah.
Then, like the executives are like, but what's the angle? Or like, you know, and yeah. you're just like, no, it's
and
just,
you're like, entertainment is the
yeah,
angle.
It's just, it's funny. It's because it's like, well. And you don't want to be a jerk about it, but you're like, no, but I'm good. I'm kind of good at it. Like, it's weird because like I'll seem like a totally different person.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't explain. I just kind of have to do it.
Yeah.
And then you'll be like, oh, I know somebody like that or whatever. So we're working on a show. Yeah.
Have you ever thought about going to the UK? Because that's their sensibilities. Like,
yeah,
you know, all over.
Yeah, I have thought about it, but it just hasn't. I went to Edinburgh. I'll probably go back to Edinburgh with this other show that I'm in. But I mean,
yeah.
it's hard. It's hard to make that kind of a big,
it's
you know,
huge,
a big move. And then like I would have probably had to go to acting school there, and
but you also are making things here. You
well, that's also like it. A, yeah. It's not like I've had
yeah.
Like I haven't been like ah oh, darn. It's I'm SOL here in Canada. Like,
yeah. No. No.
I it's been very good.
Yeah.
To
I don't
me,
know why
so.
I said you. Are you gonna go? I just meant I was just like yeah into how
well what
similar
I would that
it
would
is.
Be part of my utopia would yeah. be you know there wouldn't be there would be more channels.
Like, yeah.
There would definitely
BBC
be more
three.
Yeah. That's the
BBC three.
I no, but I. Every time I talk to any higher up CBC person, I'm just like, come on, you guys, like CBC 2. It's like such a no brainer.
Yeah.
Like, just like lower budget shows. Like there's
artist
so
control.
Many good, like there, we have good artists in Canada. Like we do. And
yeah,
but there's not really like, there's so little places for them to create that. Then we have to micromanage it so much. Like,
yeah,
no, people aren't, every once in a while, a thing gets through, like Trailer Park Boys or Kids in the Hall or somebody gets
should
through.
Should have been called Trailer Park Boys.
Trailer Park Boys. Like, or even like Early 22 or Kako. Like somebody gets
yeah.
through with their authentic, with their the voice that they actually meant to put out there.
Yeah.
And usually when that happens, people like it.
Yeah.
SCTV, whatever.
It's true.
You know what I mean? But we don't make enough stuff, or we're too risk averse to kind of let that, and I think it's the success, a lot of failures breed success. It's like, you know, it's like any week at Comedy Bar, you go and you'll see lots of not great stuff, but then you'll see some really amazing stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you need the whole week's worth of stuff in order to be like, if they were really, like if they booked that place, like, I don't, you're not good enough for, like, then it would very quickly,
yeah,
you'd lose some of the genius that you have. And I think, I don't know. In my utopia, they would fund, like, yes, there's this channel, and you'll get this. You'll be able to see your high slick glossed, very noted
in any
out
town
productions.
You're in, musical town, yeah. sex town, accent
but then you
town.
Can also there's also whatever it is 2 and 3 where people
yeah.
that are just starting out be like, hey, we have this idea, and you're like, okay, well, here's just barely enough money to make this
yeah.
thing. Which, in the beginning, that was what was great about Comedy Network, because it was sort of like a more of a free-for-all, because they didn't really know what they're... And it wasn't owned by, like, giant conglomerates or something like that.
I remember.
So there was a little bit more, you know, you could kind of get in there. Like,
when it first started, it felt like a step up from public access.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so...
Which is what web series are basically now.
Pretty much.
You know, like, there's great ones, but they're still low budget, and everyone's just doing it for the love, you know?
Yeah, which but, I wish we could just, like, manage to just bump it up enough so that, like, it was, like, everyone was doing it for the love and their rent.
Yeah.
Like, and they're not that expensive rent.
Yeah.
You know, they don't need to be doing it for the love and a Lamborghini.
Love and rent,
yeah.
Decent chicken and fish to eat at night.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, and yeah. That's
we're not
fine.
As picky as you think, guys. Okay. But yeah. Okay, so let's wrap it up with, is there any more towns that we're missing to make it like a fully, because we got the musical, we got Sex Party 3000.
Sex Party Town.
Sex Party
musical
town.
There's Accent Town. Accent Town might also, I could mix in food. We might mix Food Town in with Accent Town.
Oh, in the same place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just basically building a cruise ship.
Yeah. I'm a few swimming pools.
Building a giant cruise ship.
A movie theater.
Yeah. That floats around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually really
buffet town.
That's actually good. I like that because people listening can't see right now, but you're wearing a very awesome summery button-up t-shirt with the or short sleeve shirt with the bumblebees all over it. It's very like you and your shades. You could
be
on a cruise
like
ship.
I'm on a cruise ship right now.
Yeah. I like that. You know what?
Excuse me. I'm just gonna go up to deck 7 to sing a song about how hungry I am.
That'd be so funny if it's like a giant cruise ship called the SS Gavin, but there's no land on the planet. It's just an ocean that you're always floating
just
on,
always going
with
around.
All these different levels. Oh, I like that. I don't think anyone's had something like that yet on this.
All right.
That's really good.
Sweet.
Okay. Yeah, because we food is good. Kathleen and I were eating on Berkeley. There's a new taco place.
Oh, really?
Anyways, we were eating there the other day. Like, it's like if you want a fish taco, you have to wait 20 minutes because they cook the fish for you and you take the meat off of the fish's bones and put it in your tortilla.
That's really delicious.
Yeah, and like I had...
It's been taking a long time for really good tacos to get to Toronto.
Yeah, but now there's quite a few. But Kathleen was straight up like, Toronto has the best food. And I was like, it does.
It really does.
Yeah.
We're getting like... I feel like... I wonder... Because L.A. right now, everything is, like, weirdly sausages and craft beer. Like,
yeah.
That's the thing. Like, there's all these, like, hip places where you just get, like, knockwurst and bread. It's all, like, Oktoberfest with, like, craft beer and then, like, artisanal sausages. They're like, well, this is buffalo and peacock. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, they have weird, and that's all it is. And then everyone sits, like, at a big picnic table. Like the long picnic
right.
tables, like it's really communal, and like so. I wonder if that's going to be coming here next because we
maybe.
Haven't had a lot of like.
I didn't go to a place like
beer
that when
and
I was out there.
Places.
Yeah, right now we've like
taco trucks were the big thing in LA when I was
they
there.
They obviously
before.
Make good tacos, but after a while, even like
yeah,
you know, last time I was there, I was only there for about 3 weeks, but by the end, I was like, yes, I've had good tacos. Okay.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
No, like, but you couldn't. But here
you can't find good Indian food out there.
Yeah. But you know? It was the one thing we were missing in Toronto for a long time because there just wasn't that same quality of Mexican food.
There's tacos El Asador.
Now. In the last
I don't know how...
5 to 7 years.
Okay.
I'm talking like, you know.
You're talking like there wasn't good tacos in 2003.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah,
what happened was in 2003,
I
came back
that.
From LA and I had gotten addicted to really good tacos and I could not find them. And
yeah.
It was a bone of contention for me for some years.
Yeah, Taco Bell tacos feel like a babysitter is giving you the middle finger.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? She's like, just eat it.
Yeah, no, it's different. But then
yeah.
I made ceviche the other day.
Like from scratch?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Which is basically
how was it?
Like, put some fish in lime juice, wait.
Yeah.
the end. It was so easy.
Yeah. But it was really diced onion, tomato. Yeah. Is there tomato?
Yeah, a little bit of tomato, yeah. Some really thinly sliced red onion, and I put some jalapeno peppers in this one and a little bit of ginger.
Are you a spice guy?
Yeah.
I'm a spice to the max.
Yeah. So I put jalapenos in it, and it was good. I just used sole.
Nice. Where'd you get the sole? Where do you guys live?
Like a fish market?
Area, you don't have to say.
Like Bloor West?
Hey, I'm going to announce this on this podcast. We're an hour in. Is that cool?
Okay.
This has been fun, right?
Yes.
Okay. Kathleen and I just got a condo in High Park, Quebec Avenue.
Sweet.
Yeah, and we love the park. We love Bloor West. We love the Junction. This is a very Toronto-centric section of the podcast, yeah. Everybody.
Well, welcome to the neighborhood. That's very. Yeah. That's really cool.
Where are you guys? Around.
Just about.
Or do you not want to say to strangers
where I live?
Yeah, no, don't say where you live. But you're in Bloor West Village. Okay, I get it.
No, we're like on the other side. I'm right by Kiel.
Oh,
like right at the corner of the park.
Do you want to hear something crazy?
Yeah,
I looked it up, and there's a Zen Buddhist temple near there.
Yeah, there is.
I might go and try it out.
It's nice.
Have you gone in there?
No, but I've driven past it.
I would like a real professional to teach me how to meditate. But then I also don't want him to, like, try to make me, like, a weird religious guy.
I don't think they can. I think that's all up to you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I'd probably get to the point where I'm like, please keep helping me with my life. And he'd be like, that's not what I do, sir. See you later.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never had good luck with meditation.
Me neither.
Because I can't sit still.
Me neither.
Long enough. And
too anxious.
Acting school used to drive me, like, when they'd be like, now lay on a beach. And like, and I was just, I thought I'll never be able to be an actor. Cause I started making fun of the voice of the person that's like, you know, like you're lying on the sand. And it just like makes me. Yeah.
Yeah. The way my brain works is even if I shut off all stimulation, try to like just go into my mind and feel like think of nothing, I still hear race cars or something.
Yeah.
Like I'm like I'll be like at my 10th breath in, like, but then in the deep recess of my mind it's like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I'm like, okay, let's go, but I have to like get up and do stuff.
90% of any time I'm trying to fall asleep or something is just doing that thing of just being like, okay, let that go, and let that go, and just let that thought go, and just let that thought. Okay, stop picturing letting things go. Now you're picturing holding onto a rope. Wait, now, okay, now what's going? And then I just go, and I'm just like,
just get up and punch the teacher. Boom! Yep. I'm out of here.
No, it's not good.
Okay, but, that's good.
Enjoy that.
Yeah, we're
You'll
close
enjoy
by.
The condo.
We'll see you guys in the park.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an old school one, so it's nice and spacious. I can't believe I said that on this freaking podcast, but it's nice.
You can delete it, can't you?
Nope.
Oh, all right.
Well, they know so much about my couch and my movie collection and my cats.
It's true.
What else? Who cares? All right. Are you happy with your... Are you seriously happy that your world became a cruise?
I actually am. I don't mind that at all. I'm totally fine with that. Because also then it means that I'll have a little... I can also have snorkel world.
Yeah.
And I really like snorkeling, so...
So, have you been on a cruise?
Yeah.
I haven't. Do they stop and actually have snorkeling and scuba events or?
No, not off the giant ships. But on my world cruise, my cruise ship world, they would.
Yeah, I was literally trying to get
off the boat and then.
Yeah.
But I think you could, they have small ones.
Because that's the thing, if they dock at a place and then you go into port, are for real on real cruises. I'm like trying to figure out the real functional way we can do this. You can go on a snorkeling expedition in that port.
Yeah.
Nice. We did it.
You can totally do that.
All right. I'm happy with this. We mostly talked about other stuff, but your utopia was simple to a degree, but still very personal to you. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Did I fail at it?
Oh, no. I always feel like I fail at it because the first half I'm like more interested in like learning about all the stuff you did, which was very nice. So I always feel like I suck at this, but people say they like it, so whatever.
Well, and everyone's learned that my utopia is I just want to be permanently on vacation. So
yeah, but who doesn't? I mean, you know,
Look for me in the next movie of Cocoon.
You're the young guy bothering all the older people, like, can I come?
Seriously.
That's funny. Okay. Anything else you want to say? Final thoughts?
That's about it.
Okay. And listen to your radio show.
Yeah,
because
if you're
news.
Kicking around Saturday mornings, listen to CBC.
Yeah. It's going to be great. And you have great guests on. Rebecca Kohler's a regular.
Yeah, she is.
Who's been on this show. She's super funny. Show? Can you call this a show? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right. Then I guess we'll just go.
It's fully a show.
This?
Yeah.
Thanks. Now I'm looking at the DVD collection again like, did you guys enjoy it? All right. Did Funny Farm enjoy it?
Yeah.
Good.
Nacho Libre popped out of its shelf a little bit. That's how much it enjoyed it.
Yay. Okay, you know what? No, now instead of wrapping it up tightly like I did, I'm going to sabotage it like I always do. I took a date. This is before I was with my wife, Kathleen, to see Nacho Libre. And there's a part in the movie where he farts and falls off the cliff at the same time. It's funny, but the date laughed too hard.
Oh, and then you were like, yeah, that's not going to...
Yeah.
This isn't going to fly.
You're scream laughing about a fart joke. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And then it shortly, the relationship died out after that.
Well, you know, sometimes that's the way to tell.
Fart jokes. Laugh at them, but come on.
That's generally...
Take it easy.
Generally what I do. Generally how... It's a good... It's like the, you know, that should be a test. It's the lock... We'll call it the lock test.
Yeah.
What you do is you... If you just... You're on a date at a certain point, fart hugely and fall.
Yeah.
If they laugh too hard, game over.
Yeah. If they don't laugh at all,
game over. If they laugh just enough.
If they laugh too hard... And leave with a taller, more handsome man. Game over. And you're still pretending to fart on the ground?
with a tall, handsome man who wasn't pretending to fart.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, there.
They're not the girl for you.
There. That's a good ending to that. That was fun. Thanks for coming on.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right.
All right, there we go. Episode 47 with Gavin Crawford, all wrapped up and ready to roll. And we're going to shoot it out there into the airwaves, into the past, present, and future. And that was Gavin Crawford. Gavin, thanks so much for coming on and hanging out with me on the couch with some tea and some cats on your lap. Very fun chat. And guys, if you want to follow more about Gavin, follow him at TVGavin, TVGAVIN on Twitter. And then you'll find out more updates about all the stuff that's coming up with him. And yeah, follow us at Utopia to Me. And then, you know, we're a new-ish podcast, about a year old now. Holy crap, it's been a year. And yeah, retweet it and all that stuff. And then keep following it. Tell people to follow it. Tell people to listen. Let's keep building more and more fans and followers. You guys are... A lot of people out there are so nice in promoting and talking about the podcast. I love that and appreciate it. Thank you very much. Let's keep it going. It's been a year. I can't believe it. A year of sitting on this couch in, I'm going to be honest right now. I'm wearing sweatpants that I turned into shorts, and I'm not wearing underwear underneath. This is how we work these days. This is 2015. This is how... independent our businesses. You don't even have to wear underwear with your sweatshorts. Don't tell anybody else. Okay, and then also follow me at Chris Locke Fun to find out more about stand-up and other kinds of gigs coming up, because that's what I do. I stay busy being a goof, and I appreciate everybody's ears and eyes checking it out. And tongues, if you want. Taste this. You know what I mean? Here's the thing. That was a fun episode. I love that you guys listened. Go out there. People from the future, man, if there's any way we could sort of have get those robots to experience empathy, maybe they'd understand what we're going through and stop blasting us with lasers. Or maybe I should just stop thinking that the future is the future from Terminator all the time. Here's the thing. Enjoy this. Enjoy your lives. Go out there and smell a tree and pet a cat. You know what I mean? Thanks so much. Bye.